In the name of Jesus, we commend this last prayer session in this UIC. So the past 6 days, we have learned a lot. And in order to exalt in salvation, we also learn so many Bible teachings. We learn from books. We learn from characters. We have a lot of discussion about how to conduct effective Bible studies from all different aspects to try to learn as much as possible. So hopefully, this past 6 days, we have been equipped, and also we have made a New Year resolution for 2014. So this morning, I want to use this opportunity also to answer two more questions. We have two questions. And then, we have to keep in mind, in order to be able to exalt salvation, we must be qualified first, right? If we are unqualified in this salvation, and there is no ground, no position for us to say we want to exalt, we want to lift the salvation of Jesus up. We have to understand, we have to be saved first. So when we proclaim the salvation, we come up with a bonus, because we know how Jesus saved us. He saved us from the sinking sand. In the bondage of sin, we have been lifted up. So we are free. So first, we have to keep ourselves pure. So keep purity in our body, also in our mind. So in our thought, it's very important, because our mind will decide what we will behave. So without the purity of our body and of our mind in front of God, there is no way to exalt salvation. So in order to proclaim it, and we want to really become a mighty warrior for this salvation, this is an important reminder for us before we go back to our normal life. So purity first. We have to keep ourselves, our body pure. It's very important. The second is our understanding. We do need a very solid foundation about our basic doctrines. We have 10 articles of faith, right? So each time, each spiritual congregation, especially from NYTS and then CYSC, and in this four-year cycle, we were in depth, go through these basic doctrines. So, we do have two questions related to these issues. First, let's talk about the purity of our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So our bodies are members of Christ, because we have been reconnected to Jesus, to God. So now we belong to God. So our body must become an instrument of righteousness. So we used to be a slave of sin, but now through Jesus we have to become really the slaves of Jesus Christ. So our body is very very important, because our soul living in this body. Our flesh, yes, is a dust, but in the sight of God, now it's different from other bodies, because our whole being has been saved by the blood of Jesus. So this is the first concept. Our body are members of Christ. Jesus Christ is pure, is holy. Right? So consider this concept. And continue in 1 Corinthians 6:19 say, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Right? Holy Spirit dwell in us, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. We receive Holy Spirit from God. God is a spirit, is holy. Now this spirit come to dwell with us, abide with us. So our body become a temple. So this temple is not only this physical church, but most important is our body. Every one of us, we become a temple of Holy Spirit. So we have to do our best to keep this purity, holiness, because this is how the Holy Spirit will work and function his mighty work, because we are the instrument. Okay. So verse 20 says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We have to use this body to glorify God. So this glory, we want to glorify, means we want to proclaim the salvation, right? We want to be partaker of this glory. We have to use this body, this flesh, to glorify. This is how we really can exalt this salvation. Okay? So, there's one question. To what extent is adultery or sexual immorality defined? In this society, it's so sinful, right? This is an unbelief generation. So, when we face this question, adultery and the sexual immorality, if we do the word search, because right now it's so convenient, you have your tool, you can go to search in the Bible, the whole Bible about adultery. You can see a lot of the word appear from Old Testament. But regarding to the sexual immorality, most of the verse is in New Testament. Only two verses in Ezekiel, chapter 23. Ezekiel 23 is a parable about how Judah and Israel, as the two sisters, they commit adultery, and also actually it's a sexual immorality. I think this is what Changcheng shared, right? In the Saturday night evening prayer. This is two sisters. They commit this sexual immorality to someone. This is talking about the spirit, talking about the faith. So let's do it. See how can we understand this. Adultery, dictionary.com, give us the definition. Or you can see, right? So from this common sense, then we go back to the church, to the Bible. He said, voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone other than he or her lawful spouse. You can see this is a definition, right? So someone can see that, oh, if I not reach this position or this step, then I'm okay. This is how they define this adultery, because beside your lawful spouse, you have some this kind of relationship with others, the third party, right? Someone other than, so it's including the same sex or opposite sex, right? So it's very clear. Sexual immorality, the evil, it's called the evil, ascribed to sexual acts that violate social conventions. Social convention means our common understanding about what kind of so-called immorality, right? Immorality means 不道德 or 放荡, right? In Chinese, 放荡. So I don't care. So this is because you know, we in a society we do have a so-called moral standard, but this standard could be changed from time to time, from generation to generation, right? So this generation, our moral standard is much lower than the previous generation, because people get used to, you know, once you get used to, and then everything seems normal. You have no special feeling. Say, oh, this is not good, or this is bad. So our standard could be influenced by this society. But to the definition, already said this is the evil, right? Evil ascribed because of sexual acts, and that violated this kind of the standard, the common understanding. Okay, how about Bible? From Bible, we can see this. We know everything related to God's holiness. So if we have to do something, sexual acts that violate God's holiness, let's consider as immorality, right? From biblical standpoint. So this is called evil. Also, you know, in a society, also consider this is not holy, it's not right at all, right? So from this comparison, we know sexual immorality is broader than adultery. Isn't it? Agree? Right? So because this is sexual act, so this is including more acts, right? A different kind of acts between two parties. Okay? So there's another term called fornication, okay? Let's define it so you understand more. This is special, I emphasize in unmarried person. Unmarried. That's why we have to keep emphasize. We have to wait until we get married, because sex is created by God for special gift for a couple, for married couple. If we just cannot wait, and then we commit this kind of the relationship, and this is called fornication. A married person. So this is how we have to put ourselves in this understanding. Mindset, we have to have a very solid foundation first. Okay, and then let's see how Bible says. Immorality in faith or in spirit. So we have to make clear, not only our body, our mind is important. So that's why in Ezekiel 23 verse 8, you can see how this parable, right? She has never given up her harlotry brought from Egypt, for in her youth they have lay with her, praise her virgin bosom, and pour out her immorality upon her. You remember this verse. You go back to check this chapter, and you will know how Ezekiel, he used this sex relationship to define how Israel and Judah committed immorality before God. So another verse in 23, verse 8, I think it's verse 19, I make a mistake. Then the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their immorality. Especially mentioned about sexual acts, actually. So that's how Bible describes, they turn their heart to idols, to different gods. Besides this true God, they turn their heart astray. Okay, so what Jesus said is, and I said to you, let's do this together. And I said to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marry another, commit adultery. And whoever marry her who is divorced, commit adultery. In Matthew 19 or Matthew 5. Almost the same message. So it's called except for sexual immorality. So this is not say, or you commit adultery. Actually, it's sexual immorality. So that's why as a couple must be very careful. So even our mind, we cannot just follow others. We have to really get connected with our spouse. In the future, once you get married, you know how that important. Our mind will affect our behalf and this heart to our spouse. Likewise, to God, to Jesus is the same. Okay, so this is what Jesus mentioned about sexual immorality. How about in Acts 15, in the conference in Jerusalem, right? The church, we all read this many times. Abstain from what? Sexual immorality. So it's just, if we violate the God's holiness, actually this is called sexual immorality. Okay. So keep in mind. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and then. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. So we use our body as an instrument. So, body not for the sexual immorality. Our body have to glorify God. Glorify. Free the sexual immorality. Everything that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Okay? So don't defile ourselves. Don't defile ourselves. So be careful when we associate with others outside non-believers or non-TJC men friends, because their standard is much lower than ours. Because we care about our salvation. Okay? So this is a reminder. I just put the verse together, then you can you know what Bible said. So we don't have to play the games that, oh, this is the wording, this is the definition, oh, this is so I'm okay, I'm still can do something, certain work. No. We return to the Bible and our conscience and our the Holy Spirit will guide us to know what is the line. The line is we cannot violate the holiness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, that's why, let every man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. That's why God created a marriage. Because this mechanism of our body, God created, he knows what we are going to have once we reach a certain age. That's why when we are mature, we are ready, we have to really consider marriage. Then, to make this God's plan perfect, become two are better than one. So, marriage will help us to really become mature. And also, we have 1 + 1 is not equal to 2, actually. You know, if from this marriage perspective, 1 + 1 is more than 2. Because we will produce more godly offspring, right? So of course, this you will get more. But we have to make sure every offspring, our descendants are in the Lord and become a very godly children of God. So, once we reach a certain age, this is how we should consider marriage, will help us avoid from this sexual immorality, because this society is so too sinful, right? People tend to not marry because of what? Because of what? Because of some legal issue, right? They care about their possessions. Once they get married, if certain year are divorced, then have to divide into 50%, 50%. So, wow, this is, people just consider, then if I marry someone and divorce later, then I lost what I have, right? And another party can consider, wow, this is a way to earn money, to get possession. Marry someone and then divorce it. This is how this society changes in like this way, right? So, but to us, we know marriage is for our purity, for our holiness. Let's really consider about marriage. Pray for our marriage. It's very important because it's crucial. All the years of our religion education will be harvested whether we can really marry in the Lord or not. If we can really marry in the Lord, then our youth will become prosperous. Our holy work really can grow up because we have more manpower to do it. Qualified youth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. God's will. Okay? Consider God's will. How about adultery? Romans 13, verse 9. For the commandments, you should not commit adultery. This is which commandment? Which number? Seven, right? The seventh commandment. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you should love your neighbor as yourself. This in Romans emphasizes love one another. If we really love others, then we really have a higher standard than just commandment. Adultery, if according to the definition, we know what they mean, right? But to us, we are way high than this standard. Now, the work of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, all this come out from the flesh. So we have to put it to death. Through prayer, we do need this kind of cultivation daily. We rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Then, this is the first question. The second, it's relating to our base doctrines. When I preach to others, how can I clearly explain to others the concept of Trinity versus the concept of one true God? It's not easy to say in only a few words, a few minutes, right? But actually, this is what we have learned in NYTS last year. Right? We have a basic doctrine, 5 hours of one true God. So hopefully, you can have another chance to study it in depth. This is a basic about God, about Jesus, about Holy Spirit. But just to give you some ideas. Trinity, we know, because Trinity actually is very complicated. It's more complicated than what we thought. But now, if we really understand God is one spirit, one God, one true God, one spirit, then the Trinity, they turn this spirit above time and space. Now they grab it into the time space and then use these three persons or three gods to define and to try to understand this spirit. So it's not easy. Actually, it's in certain degree, it's not right because God is spirit. And also, for salvation, we have to understand God manifest in the flesh and shed his blood for the redemption of sins. For salvation, God manifest in the flesh. Oh, that's why Jesus come. Okay? All right. And then, God also manifests himself as the Holy Spirit to dwell with the believers. Okay? So I think in the Q&A section, we already see how one question mentioned about, do you remember? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and also the Father, the Holy Spirit, remember? So first, I think it's John chapter 14, Gospel of John 14. You can see how Jesus talked to his disciples about this Holy Spirit will come to dwell with you. Jesus will dwell with us through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit dwell with believers. Son and Holy Spirit are actually the office and the work of God, the Father for salvation. For salvation, that's the key for salvation. Key concept. Three, keep in mind. First, oneness of God's Spirit. Spirit is only one Spirit. Spirit cannot be defined, or this is a portion, or this is this portion, right? Always one. So the same Spirit, same God in working in Old Testament and also in New Testament. Okay? And also in right now. And the central theme of salvation is in the Bible is salvation, and then Holy Spirit. The Spirit transcends time and space. So when we're talking about Trinity, we know how we understand this God's work through this Spirit. Spirit come to Spirit is no limit, no limitation. Spirit can change everything, become possible. Spirit can turn the water into blood of Jesus. Right? Can turn the grape juice and the unleavened bread into the blood and the flesh of Jesus. This is how the Spirit transcends time and space. Okay, so this is a key concept. I think we do this. We do need more study about the one true God. All right, so this is what we have. These two questions. Hopefully, your question being answered. So we are going to pray together now. Let's pray especially for the guidance, the Holy Spirit. So we go back to our normal life, our campus, and we can continue to practice this daily cultivation every day in the morning, pray, and then do your work. And in the evening, pray, read Bible, and ponder, meditate the word of Jesus. Let's come forward and pray for one another.